Nice smiles. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it? God has really blessed us. He always does if we listen. If we listen to His Word and let it take place in our heart. I'm going to start reading in Alma chapter 3, verse 27. You can find it on page 314 in your Book of Mormon. Alma chapter 3, verse 27. And now, behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? Have ye received His image in your countenances? Have ye experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do ye exercise faith in the redemption of Him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body? I say unto you, can you imagine to yourselves that ye hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you in that day, come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth. Or do ye imagine to yourselves that ye can lie unto the Lord in that day and say, Lord, our works have been righteous works upon the face of the earth, and He will save you? Or otherwise, can ye imagine yourselves brought before the tribunal of God with your souls filled with guilt and remorse, having a remembrance of all your guilt, yea, a perfect remembrance of all your wickedness, yea, a remembrance that ye have set at defiance the commandments of God? I say unto you, can ye look up to God at that day with a pure heart and clean hands? I say unto you, can ye look up having the image of God engraven upon your countenances? I say unto you, can ye think of being saved when ye have yielded yourselves to become subjects to the devil? I say unto you, ye will know at that day that ye cannot be saved. For there can no man be saved except his garments are washed white. Yea, his garments must be purified until they are cleansed from all stain through the blood of Him of whom it has been spoken of by our fathers, who should come to redeem His people from their sins. And now I ask of you, my brethren, how will any of you feel if ye stand before the bar of God, having your garments stained with blood and all manner of filthiness? Behold, what will these things testify against you? Behold, will they not testify that ye are murderers, yea, and also that ye are guilty of all manner of wickedness? Behold, my brethren, do ye suppose that such an one can have place to sit down in the kingdom of God with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and also all the holy prophets, whose garments are cleansed and are spotless, pure, and white? I say unto you, nay, except ye make our Creator a liar from the beginning, or suppose that He is a liar from the beginning, ye cannot suppose that such an one can have place in the kingdom of heaven. But they shall be cast out, for they are the children of the kingdom of the devil. And now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if ye have experienced a change of heart, and if ye have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can ye feel so now? Have ye walked, keeping yourselves blameless before God? Could ye say, if ye were called to die at this time, within yourselves, that ye have been sufficiently humble? That your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, which will come to redeem his people from their sins? Behold, are ye stripped of pride? I say unto you, if ye are not prepared to meet God, behold, ye must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand. Such an one hath not eternal life. Behold, I say, is there one among you who is not stripped of envy? I say unto you that such an one is not prepared. And I would that ye should prepare quickly, for the hour is close at hand, and he knoweth not when the time shall come, for such an one is not found guiltless. And again I say unto you, is there one among you that doth not make a mock of his brother, or that heapeth upon him persecutions? Woe unto such an one, for he is not prepared, and the time is at hand that he must repent, or he cannot be saved. Yea, even woe unto all ye workers of iniquity. Repent. Repent. For the Lord God hath spoken it. Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them. And he saith, repent, and I will receive you. And he saith, come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread of the waters of life freely. Yea, come unto me and bring forth works of righteousness, and ye shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire. For behold, the time is at hand, that whosoever bringeth forth not good fruit, and whosoever doeth not the works of righteousness, the same hath cause to wail and mourn. This morning in our Sunday school class, we were talking about how the prophets were killed. And the question was asked, why didn't they understand the prophecies? They seemed so direct, so clear, so plain. Why didn't they understand that destruction was prophesied against them? Speaking of the people of Jerusalem, the people of Israel. And the thought came to me that they had such a hard heart, such hard hearts. They wouldn't listen. They knew the prophets had foretold many things, and those things came to pass. And they knew that when a prophet spoke, it was real. that they wouldn't listen. Their hearts became hard, and they thought, rather than their own acts being evil, that the prophets were evil, and the word of God was evil, and they killed and they murdered the holy prophets. And we talked about how after Nebuchadnezzar came and took captive many of the Israelites, the prophet Jeremiah cried out in sorrow for his people that they'd received such destruction. And a sister mentioned that was the same as Christ, as he cried out to Jerusalem, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered you, as a hen gathers her chickens, but ye would not." Where are we today? Will we listen to the word of God? Where are we today? Do we see Christ's image in our countenance? I want to continue reading or turn to the book of Alma. No, I'm sorry. I want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 18. Starting with the first verse. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, "What mean ye, that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, 'The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge'?" After reading this chapter, I think what this proverb that the people of Israel said was that the sins of the fathers fall on the sons. But let's continue reading in verse 3. "As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." I just want to add, the Lord God hath spoken it. "But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and a man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord God. If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten up upon the mountains, and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase. Shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, lo, if he begat a son that seeth all his father's sins, which he hath done and considereth, and doeth none such like, not such like, that he that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withheld the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received usury nor increase, hath executed my judgments, hath walked in my statutes. He shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet say ye, why? Doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteous of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Saith the Lord God. And not that he should return from his ways and live. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? No. All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive, because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent. and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die? For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. A sister this morning, after our Sunday school class, was talking about how her husband has a friend who is Jewish. And she was talking about the Jewish beliefs of today, that they do not believe in a Messiah, and that the concept of the original sin of Adam is a Christian concept, and that they believe in no resurrection, but that after this life, they will simply, their body will just exist. And we were talking about how sad that is. And yet, that's what this Ezekiel is prophesying of here, of how Israel believed God's ways are unequal or unjust, I'm going to say. And you know, brothers and sisters, we find ourselves in similar situations when we find ourselves questioning God. And when we say, this is too hard, this is simply too hard, but that's not the truth. Because we have been given away. We have received the promise. Christ has risen, and he's given us hope, and he's given us strength, and he's given us his word. And we should read it, and we should repent, and we should turn to God, and we should rely alone upon the merits of Christ. Because to him, it is not too hard. What God asks of us, we can find strength through the Holy Spirit. I wanted... We've had probably about 3 sermons. I think 3 sermons in a row, regarding tithing. And I have felt now for a year that I need to preach a little bit on tithing, because I have to confess that my belief in tithing was not... in line with the Word of God. And I think I had a good general concept. I believed that the Word of God, or that I couldn't find in the New Testament anywhere where Christ actually commanded us that we must continue to tithe. So I believed that I should rely on the Holy Spirit to guide me what I should give to the church, and or what I should give to the poor. And I do believe that we should do that. But I found that as I did that, I gave pennies. I really wasn't relying on the Holy Spirit to guide me in what I gave. I say pennies, but I mean small amounts of money. Last year, I was... I actually heard a sermon on the radio. But this sermon spoke to me because God wanted to speak to me, and brought up scriptures that supported giving at least 10%. So I began praying about that. I felt God speaking to me that I needed to start giving at least 10%. So I started praying about it. And one day I was in a staff meeting at work. And one of the ladies I work with, we were discussing our financial problems with the business. And she stopped and said, "Okay, I need to say this. God has spoken this to me, and it's something I need to say. And I don't know why I need to say it, but I know I need to say it. There's someone in this room that is not tithing to their church, and they need to be." And I knew God was speaking to me. God will use whoever He wants to speak to us. Well, even after that powerful experience, I was slothful and didn't begin tithing right away. But I want to tell you that once I did, God fulfilled His word. And I want to read to you out of the third chapter of the book of Nephi in verse chapter 11. Glenn, our brother Glenn mentioned this in a sermon, I think it was a few weeks ago. I think now every time I hear a sermon on tithing, I really hear it because I believe it now. But 3rd book of Nephi, chapter 11, and I want to start out in verse 1. I think I'm going to skip around, but I'm not sure. Start out in verse 1. It says, "And now it came to pass that when Jesus expounded all the scriptures in one," and of course, this is here on this land, when He came to this land, and He taught them as He taught in Jerusalem. And so it says again, "And now it came to pass that when Jesus had expounded all the scriptures in one, which they had written, He commanded them that they should teach the things which He had expounded unto them. And it came to pass that He commanded them that they should write the words which the Father had given unto Malachi, which He should tell unto them. And it came to pass that after they were written, He expounded them. And these are the words which He did tell unto them, saying, Thus saith the Father unto Malachi, Behold, I will send my messenger." And I want to point out something here. First, it says in verse 1 that He preached unto them out of the scriptures that they already had, that had already been written. Then it says that He wanted to give them the words of Malachi. And now He says He wants to expound upon them. But He wants to speak about them. He's not speaking about here all of the words of Malachi. But from what I'm understanding, He gave them all of the words of Malachi first. But He's speaking these words because He has the intention that they should hear them. And I want to read in verse 11. In verse 10. "Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and ye have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But say ye, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now I believe this was written to Israel, but I believe that this is written to all of us who trust in God. When I was considering, or when I was being slothful about obeying the commandment of tithing, I kept thinking about, well, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough money, because I thought, you know, if I'm going to tithe, I'm going to do it I'm going to give 10% of my first fruits. You know, and to me, my understanding of that was the gross on my check. And I decided I'm going to give 10% of it, but I don't have enough money. I just can't do it. And then, of course, the Spirit of God speaks to me. You have enough money for a cell phone? You have enough money for other things? So I got rid of the monthly cell plan, got the prepaid plan, and made other decisions where I could afford paying my tithes and being obedient to God. And brothers and sisters, there were times that I didn't think I could do it, but when I trusted in God, He provided the way. I have to tell you, in September, I was at one such point, and I was praying about, God, give me the way that I can pay my tithing, because I didn't see the way. Well, there was a hailstorm in Independence, and I guess it just hit a small portion of Independence, and my cars were included. And my cars are old, so they don't have to be fixed. And my insurance company said, you can do whatever you want with this check. So I paid my tithe. I didn't. I was disobedient, and I took my family to Florida. And then I was in another situation. You know, it talks about a curse here. I held back on my tithing to go to Florida. And I tell you this because I hope you learn from my lessons. But I was cursed. On our trip to Florida, I called the bank and found out that I charged to my debit card so many things, and I had at least 20 bounced charges. I think I paid somewhere between $250 and $300 in charges or more. I don't remember anymore. But it caused me to repent. I knew why I received that curse. So I prayed that God would allow me to pay my tithing again. And in January, I got my tax refund. And I was able to pay all my back tithing and everything. And since then, I think I've learned my lesson that the tithing comes first. I hope I've learned my lesson. But you know, that is just one commandment that we need to obey. There's a commandment that says, or that says, there's the word that says that if we know to do something good and don't do it, to us it is sin. There's so many ways, as King Benjamin says, that we can sin. But we have got a Savior that can be our strength. We have been given the gift of the Spirit of God, those of us who have been baptized with it. And if you have not been baptized with it, and you know you should, what are you waiting for? Christ has given us his way, or God has given us the way through Christ. And I want to turn now, my last scripture, to Alma chapter 16. And I want to give a little bit of history before this. Alma and Amulek were preaching under the Zoramites, the poor of their land. The poor had been cast out of their synagogues. I remember when I was a member of the RLDS church, and there was a split in the church, and there were many people, many different churches, that their churches were taken away from them because of their beliefs. And I remember the sadness they felt. I find similar sadness in the Zoramites when they were cast out of their synagogues. They were cast out because they were poor. And Alma preached unto them. And they were wondering how they could worship God now that they were cast out of their synagogues. So he reminded them of Zenoch and Zenos and those prophets that we don't have in the Bible, but we have some idea about them in the Book of Mormon, that they would worship in the wilderness. They would worship wherever they were. And so I want to continue in verse 201, Alma chapter 16, verse 201. And now it came to pass that after Alma had spoken these words unto them, he sat down upon the ground. And Amulek arose and began to teach them, saying, My brethren, I think that it is impossible that ye should be ignorant of the things which have been spoken concerning the coming of Christ, who is taught by us to be the Son of God. And I want to, for those of you who might not know, Alma and Amulek were preaching before the first coming of Christ. And they had known of the prophecies of the coming of Christ. Verse 202, Yea, I know that these things were taught unto you bountifully before your dissension from among us. And as ye have desired of my, beloved brethren, that he should make known unto you what ye should do because of your afflictions, and he hath spoken somewhat unto you to prepare your minds, yea, And he hath exhorted you unto faith and to patience, yea, even that ye would have so much faith as even to plant the word in your hearts, that ye may try the experiment of its goodness. And we have beheld that the great question which is in your minds is whether the word be in the Son of God, or whether there shall be no Christ. And ye also beheld that my brother hath proven unto you in many instances that the word is in Christ unto salvation. My brother hath called upon the words of Zenas, that redemption cometh through the Son of God, and also upon the words of Zenoch, and also he hath appealed unto Moses to prove that these things are true. And now behold, I will testify unto you of myself that these things are true. Behold, I say unto you that I do know that Christ shall come among the children of men to take upon him the transgressions of his people, and that he shall atone for the sins of the world. For the Lord God hath spoken it. For it is expedient that an atonement should be made, for according to the great plan of the eternal God, there must be an atonement made, or else all mankind must unavoidably perish. Yea, all are hardened. Yea, all are fallen and are lost, not only Israel, not only those that had hard hearts of Israel, but all would be and must perish except it be through the atonement which is expedient should be made. For it is expedient that there should be a great and last sacrifice, yea, not a sacrifice of man, neither of beast, neither of any manner of fowl, for it shall not be a human sacrifice, but it must be an infinite and eternal sacrifice. Now there is not any man that can sacrifice his own blood, which will atone for the sins of another. Now if a man murdereth, behold, will our law, which is just, take the life of a man of his brother? I say unto you, nay. But the law requireth the life of him who hath murdered. Therefore there is nothing which is short of an infinite atonement, which will suffice for the sins of the world. Therefore it is expedient that there should be a great and last sacrifice. And then shall there be, or it is expedient there should be, a stop to the shedding of blood. Then shall the law of Moses be fulfilled. Yea, it shall be fulfilled, every jot and tittle, and none shall have passed away. And behold, this is the whole meaning of the law, every whit pointing to that great and last sacrifice. That great and last sacrifice will be the Son of God, yea, infinite and eternal. And thus he shall bring salvation to all those who shall believe on his name. This being the intent of this last sacrifice, to bring about the bowels of mercy, which overpowereth justice and bringeth about means unto men, that they may have faith unto repentance. And thus mercy can satisfy the demands of justice and encircles them in the arms of safety, while he that exercises no faith unto repentance is exposed to the whole law of the demands of justice. Therefore, only unto him that hath faith unto repentance is brought about the great and eternal plan of redemption. Therefore may God grant unto you, my brethren, that ye may begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that ye may begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy,
for he is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when ye are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. Ye must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wildernesses. Yea, and when ye do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually, for your welfare, and also the welfare of those that are around you. I love that when I'm in that frame of mind, when I've been crying out to him on the way to work, but then when I'm in work and just walking around, just praying in my heart and thinking about others who are in need, I really feel like I'm being used by God then. And then I feel his love, and I feel like I can be used by him even more. Verse 223, "And now, behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all. For after ye have done all these things, if ye turn away the needy and the naked, and visit not the sick and the afflicted, and impart of your substance, if ye have, to those which stand in need, I say unto you, if ye do not these things, behold, your prayer is vain, and availeth you nothing. And ye are as hypocrites which do deny the faith. Therefore, if ye do not remember to be charitable, ye are as dross, which the refiners do cast out, it being of no worth, and is trodden under the foot of men. And now, my brethren, I would that after ye have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, come forth and bring fruit unto repentance. Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer, for behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, this life is the life for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you, that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Ye cannot say, when ye are brought to that awful crisis, that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, ye cannot say this. For that same Spirit which doth possess your bodies at the day ye go out of this life, the same Spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you and hath no place in you. And the devil hath all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked. And this I know because the Lord hath said, He dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth He dwell. Yea, and He hath also said that the righteous shall sit down in His kingdom to go no more out, but their garments should be made white through the blood of the Lamb. O brothers and sisters, that we might meet each other there with white garments, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. It's my desire. God bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Darren. Turn to hymn number 146 for our closing hymn this morning, remembering that our potluck dinner is immediately following in the dining room downstairs. Let us pray. Our righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy gospel and thy Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have preserved the scriptures, that we can know the truth of thy word. O Lord, we pray that thy Holy Spirit will lead us and that we can be awake and cognizant of its urgings, that we can be found doing thy will. Go with us as we leave this place through the activities of this day. Bless and keep us. Go with those that will gather downstairs for that potluck dinner. We ask that you will bless the food there served to us. Bless the hands that prepared it. Bless this nice service. We would remember the sick and afflicted, those in need, those in pain, those with cancer, the dreaded diseases. Heal them. Lift them up, that they might have a testimony upon their lips of thy goodness and thy blessings. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Nice smiles. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it? God has really blessed us. He always does if we listen. If we listen to His Word. And let it take place in our heart. I'm going to start reading in Alma chapter 3, verse 27. You can find it on page 314 in your Book of Mormon. Alma chapter 3, verse 27. And now, behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? Have ye received His image in your countenances? Have ye experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do ye exercise faith in the redemption of Him who created you? Do ye look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality, and this corruption raised in incorruption, to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body? I say unto you, can you imagine to yourselves that ye hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you in that day, come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth. Or do ye imagine to yourselves that ye can lie unto the Lord in that day? And say, Lord, our works have been righteous works upon the face of the earth, and He will save you? Or otherwise, can ye imagine yourselves brought before the tribunal of God with your souls filled with guilt and remorse, having a remembrance of all your guilt, yea, a perfect remembrance of all your wickedness, yea, a remembrance that ye have set at defiance the commandments of God? I say unto you, can ye look up to God at that day with a pure heart and clean hands? I say unto you, can ye look up, having the image of God engraven upon your countenances? I say unto you, can ye think of being saved when ye have yielded yourselves to become subjects to the devil?
I say unto you, ye will know at that day that ye cannot be saved. For there can no man be saved except his garments are washed white. Yea, his garments must be purified until they are cleansed from all stain through the blood of him of whom it has been spoken of by our fathers, who should come to redeem his people from their sins. And now I ask of you, my brethren, how will any of you feel if ye stand before the bar of God, having your garments stained with blood and all manner of filthiness? Behold, what will these things testify against you? Behold, will they not testify that ye are murderers, yea, and also that ye are guilty of all manner of wickedness? Behold, my brethren, do ye suppose that such an one can have place to sit down in the kingdom of God with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and also all the holy prophets, whose garments are cleansed and are spotless, pure and white? I say unto you, nay, except ye make our Creator a liar from the beginning, or suppose that he is a liar from the beginning, ye cannot suppose that such an one can have place in the kingdom of heaven. But they shall be cast out, for they are the children of the kingdom of the devil. And now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if ye have experienced a change of heart, and if ye have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can ye feel so now? Have ye walked, keeping yourselves blameless before God? Could ye say, if ye were called to die at this time, within yourselves, that ye have been sufficiently humble? That your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, which will come to redeem his people from their sins? Behold, are ye stripped of pride? I say unto you, if ye are not prepared to meet God, behold, ye must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand. Such an one hath not eternal life. Behold, I say, is there one among you who is not stripped of envy? I say unto you that such an one is not prepared. And I would that ye should prepare quickly, for the hour is close at hand, and he knoweth not when the time shall come. For such an one is not found guiltless. And again I say unto you, is there one among you that doth not make a mock of his brother, or that heapeth upon him persecutions? Woe unto such an one, for he is not prepared, and the time is at hand that he must repent, or he cannot be saved. Yea, even woe unto all ye workers of iniquity. Repent. Repent, for the Lord God hath spoken it. Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them. And he saith, repent, and I will receive you. And he saith, come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread of the waters of life freely. Yea, come unto me and bring forth works of righteousness, and ye shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire. For behold, the time is at hand, that whosoever bringeth forth not good fruit, and whosoever doeth not the works of righteousness,
the same hath cause to wail and mourn. This morning in our Sunday school class, we were talking about how the prophets were killed. And the question was asked, why didn't they understand the prophecies? They seemed so direct, so clear, so plain. Why didn't they understand that destruction was prophesied against them? Speaking of the people of Jerusalem, the people of Israel. And the thought came to me that they had such a hard heart, such hard hearts. They wouldn't listen. They knew the prophets had foretold many things, and those things came to pass. And they knew that when a prophet spoke, it was real. But they wouldn't listen. Their hearts became hard, and they thought, rather than their own acts being evil, that the prophets were evil. And the word of God was evil, and they killed and they murdered the holy prophets. And we talked about how after Nebuchadnezzar came and took captive many of the Israelites, the prophet Jeremiah cried out in sorrow for his people that they'd received such destruction. And a sister mentioned that was the same as Christ, as he cried out to Jerusalem, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chickens, but ye would not." Where are we today? Will we listen to the Word of God? Where are we today? Do we see Christ's image in our countenance? I want to continue reading or turn to the book of Alma. No, I'm sorry. I want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 18, starting with the first verse. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, "What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge?" After reading this chapter, I think what this proverb that the people of Israel said was that the sins of the fathers fall on the sons. But let's continue reading in verse 3. "As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine,
As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. I just want to add, the Lord God hath spoken it. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and a man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord God. If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten up upon the mountains, and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins, which he hath done and considereth, and doeth none such like, not such like, that he that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withheld the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received usury nor increase, hath executed my judgments, hath walked in my statutes. He shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet say ye, why? Doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteous of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? No. All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive, because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed. He shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die? For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. A sister this morning, after our Sunday school class, was talking about how her husband has a friend who is Jewish. And she was talking about the Jewish beliefs of today, that they do not believe in a Messiah, and that the concept of the original sin of Adam is a Christian concept, and that they believe in no resurrection, but that after this life, they will simply, their body will just exist. And we were talking about how sad that is. And yet, that's what this Ezekiel is prophesying of here, of how Israel believed God's ways are unequal or unjust, I'm going to say. And you know, brothers and sisters, we find ourselves in similar situations when we find ourselves questioning God. And when we say, this is too hard, this is simply too hard. But that's not the truth, because we have been given away. We have received the promise. Christ has risen, and he's given us hope, and he's given us strength, and he's given us his word. And we should read it, and we should repent, and we should turn to God, and we should rely alone upon the merits of Christ, because to him it is not too hard. What God asks of us, we can find strength through the Holy Spirit. We've had probably about 3 sermons. I think 3 sermons in a row, I've heard, regarding tithing. And I have felt now for a year that I need to preach a little bit on tithing, because I have to confess that my belief in tithing was not in line with the Word of God. And I think I had a good general concept. I believed that the Word of God, or that I couldn't find in the Word of, in the New Testament anywhere, where Christ actually commanded us that we must continue to tithe. So I believed that I should rely on the Holy Spirit to guide me what I should give to the church, and or what I should give to the poor. And I do believe that we should do that. But I found that as I did that, I gave pennies. I really wasn't relying on the Holy Spirit to guide me in what I gave. I say pennies, but I mean small amounts of money. Last year, I was... I actually heard a sermon on the radio. But this sermon spoke to me because God wanted to speak to me and brought up scriptures that supported giving at least 10%. So I began praying about that. I felt God speaking to me that I needed to start giving at least 10%. So I started praying about it. And one day I was in a staff meeting at work, and one of the ladies I work with, we were discussing our financial problems with the business, and she stopped and said, "Okay, I need to say this. God has spoken this to me, and it's something I need to say. And I don't know why I need to say it, but I know I need to say it. There's someone in this room that is not tithing to their church, and they need to be." And I knew God was speaking to me. God will use whoever He wants to speak to us. Well, even after that powerful experience, I was slothful and didn't begin tithing right away. But I want to tell you that once I did, God fulfilled His word. And I want to read to you out of the third chapter of the book of Nephi in verse chapter 11. Our brother Glenn mentioned this in a sermon, I think it was a few weeks ago. I think now every time I hear a sermon on tithing, I really hear it because I believe it now. But 3rd book of Nephi, chapter 11, and I want to start out in verse 1. I think I'm going to skip around, but I'm not sure. Start out in verse 1. It says, "And now it came to pass that when Jesus expounded all the scriptures in one," and of course, this is here on this land, when He came to this land, and He taught them as He taught in Jerusalem. And so it says again, "And now it came to pass that when Jesus had expounded all the scriptures in one, which they had written, He commanded them that they should teach the things which He had expounded unto them. And it came to pass that he commanded them that they should write the words which the Father had given unto Malachi, which he should tell unto them. And it came to pass that after they were written, he expounded them. And these are the words which he did tell unto them, saying, Thus saith the Father unto Malachi, Behold, I will send my messenger. And I want to point out something here. First, it says in verse 1 that he preached unto them out of the scriptures that they already had, that had already been written. Then it says that he wanted to give them the words of Malachi. And now he says he wants to expound upon them. But he wants to speak about them. He's not speaking about here all of the words of Malachi. But I, from what I'm understanding, he gave them all of the words of Malachi first. But he's speaking these words because he has the intention that they should hear them. And I want to read in verse 11. In verse 10. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and ye have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But say ye, Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I believe this was written to Israel, but I believe that this is written to all of us who trust in God. When I was considering, or when I was being slothful about obeying the commandment of tithing, I kept thinking about, well, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough money, because I thought, you know, if I'm going to tithe, I'm going to do it how I'm going to give 10% of my first fruits. You know, and to me, my understanding of that was the gross on my check. And I decided I'm going to give 10% of it. But I don't have enough money. I just can't do it. And then, of course, the Spirit of God speaks to me. You have enough money for a cell phone? You have enough money for other things? So, I got rid of the monthly cell plan, got the prepaid plan, and made other decisions where I could afford paying my tithes and being obedient to God. And brothers and sisters, there were times that didn't think I could do it, but when I trusted in God, He provided the way, I have to tell you. In September, I was at one such point, and I was praying about, God, give me the way that I can pay, you know, that I could pay my tithing, because I didn't see the way. Well, there was a hailstorm in Independence, and I guess it just hit a small portion of Independence, and my cars were included. And my cars are old, so they don't have to be fixed. And my insurance company said, you can do whatever you want with this check. So I paid my tithe. I didn't. I was disobedient. And I took my family to Florida. And then I was in another situation. You know, it talks about a curse here. I held back on my tithing to go to Florida. And I tell you this because I hope you learn from my lessons. But I was cursed. On our trip to Florida, I called the bank and found out that I'd charged to my debit card so many things, and I had at least 20 bounced charges. I think I paid somewhere between $250 and $300 in charges or more. I don't remember anymore. But it caused me to repent. I knew why I received that curse. So I prayed that God would allow me to pay my tithing again. And in January, I got my tax refund, and I was able to pay all my back tithing and everything. And since then, I think I've learned my lesson that the tithing comes first. I hope I've learned my lesson. But you know, that is just one commandment that we need to obey. There's a commandment that says there's the word that says that if we know to do something good and don't do it, to us it is sin. There's so many ways, as King Benjamin says, that we can sin. But we have got a Savior that can be our strength. We have been given the gift of the Spirit of God, those of us who have been baptized with it. And if you have not been baptized with it, and you know you should, what are you waiting for? Christ has given us his way, or God has given us the way through Christ. And I want to turn now, my last scripture, to Alma chapter 16. And I want to give a little bit of history before this. Alma and Amulek were preaching under the Zoramites, the poor of their land. The poor had been cast out of their synagogues. I remember when I was a member of the RLDS church, and there was a split in the church, and there were many people, many different churches, that their churches were taken away from them because of their beliefs. And I remember the sadness they felt. I find similar sadness in the Zoramites when they were cast out of their synagogues. They were cast out because they were poor. And Alma preached unto them, and they were wondering how they could worship God now that they were cast out of their synagogues. So he reminded them of Zenoch and Zenos and those prophets that we don't have in the Bible, but we have some idea about them in the Book of Mormon, that they would worship in the wilderness. They would worship wherever they were. And so I want to continue in verse 201, Alma chapter 16, verse 201. And now it came to pass that after Alma had spoken these words unto them, he sat down upon the ground. And Amulek arose and began to teach them, saying, My brethren, I think that it is impossible that ye should be ignorant of the things which have been spoken concerning the coming of Christ, who is taught by us to be the Son of God. And I want to, for those of you who might not know, Alma and Amulek were preaching before the first coming of Christ. And they had known of the prophecies of the coming of Christ. Verse 202, Yea, I know that these things were taught unto you bountifully before your dissension from among us. And as ye have desired of my, beloved brethren, that he should make known unto you what ye should do because of your afflictions, and he hath spoken somewhat unto you to prepare your minds, yea, and he hath exhorted you unto faith and to patience, yea, even that ye would have so much faith as even to plant the word in your hearts, that ye may try the experiment of its goodness. And we have beheld that the great question which is in your minds is whether the word be in the Son of God, or whether there shall be no Christ. And ye also beheld that my brother hath proven unto you in many instances that the word is in Christ unto salvation. My brother hath called upon the words of Zenos, that redemption cometh through the Son of God, and also upon the words of Zenoch, and also he hath appealed unto Moses to prove that these things are true. And now behold, I will testify unto you of myself that these things are true. Behold, I say unto you that I do know that Christ shall come among the children of men to take upon him the transgressions of his people, and that he shall atone for the sins of the world. For the Lord God hath spoken it. For it is expedient that an atonement should be made, for according to the great plan of the eternal God, there must be an atonement made, or else all mankind must unavoidably perish. Yea, all are hardened. Yea, all are fallen and are lost. Not only Israel, not only those that had hard hearts of Israel, but all would be and must perish except it be through the atonement which is expedient should be made. For it is expedient that there should be a great and last sacrifice. Yea, not a sacrifice of man, neither of beast, neither of any manner of fowl, for it shall not be a human sacrifice, but it must be an infinite and eternal sacrifice. Now there is not any man that can sacrifice his own blood, which will atone for the sins of another. Now if a man murdereth, behold, will our law, which is just, take the life of a man of his brother? I say unto you, nay. But the law requireth the life of him who hath murdered. Therefore there is nothing which is short of an infinite atonement, which will suffice for the sins of the world. Therefore, it is expedient that there should be a great and last sacrifice. And then shall there be, or it is expedient there should be, a stop to the shedding of blood. Then shall the law of Moses be fulfilled. Yea, it shall be fulfilled, every jot and tittle, and none shall have passed away. And behold, this is the whole meaning of the law, every whit pointing to that great and last sacrifice. That great and last sacrifice will be the Son of God. Yea, infinite and eternal. And thus he shall bring salvation to all those who shall believe on his name. This being the intent of this last sacrifice, to bring about the bowels of mercy, which overpowereth justice and bringeth about means unto men, that they may have faith unto repentance. And thus mercy can satisfy the demands of justice and encircles them in the arms of safety. While he that exerciseth no faith unto repentance is exposed to the whole law of the demands of justice. Therefore, only unto him that hath faith unto repentance is brought about the great and eternal plan of redemption. Therefore, may God grant unto you, my brethren, that ye may begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that ye may begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when ye are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. Ye must pour out your souls in your closets, and your secret places, and in your wildernesses. Yea, and when ye do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually, for your welfare, and also the welfare of those that are around you. I love that when I'm in that frame of mind, when I've been crying out to him on the way to work. But then when I'm in work and just walking around, just praying in my heart and thinking about others who are in need, I really feel like I'm being used by God then. And then I feel his love, and I feel like I can be used by him even more. Verse 223, "And now, behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all. For after ye have done all these things, if ye turn away the needy and the naked, and visit not the sick and the afflicted, and impart of your substance, if ye have, to those which stand in need, I say unto you, if ye do not these things, behold, your prayer is vain, and availeth you nothing. And ye are as hypocrites which do deny the faith. Therefore, if ye do not remember to be charitable, ye are as dross, which the refiners do cast out, it being of no worth, and is trodden under the foot of men. And now, my brethren, I would that after ye have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, come forth and bring fruit unto repentance. Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer, for behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, this life is the life for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. You cannot say, when you are brought to that awful crisis, that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, ye cannot say this. For that same spirit which doth possess your bodies at the day ye go out of this life, the same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, and hath no place in you. And the devil hath all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked. And this I know, because the Lord hath said, He dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth He dwell. Yea, and He hath also said, that the righteous shall sit down in His kingdom, to go no more out, but their garments should be made white through the blood of the Lamb. O brothers and sisters, that we might meet each other there with white garments, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. It's my desire. God bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Darren. Turn to hymn number 146 for our closing hymn this morning. Remembering that our potluck dinner is immediately following in the dining room downstairs. Let us pray. Our righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy gospel and thy Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have preserved the scriptures, that we can know the truth of thy word. O Lord, we pray that thy Holy Spirit will lead us and that we can be awake and cognizant of its urgings, that we can be found doing thy will. Go with us as we leave this place through the activities of this day. Bless and keep us. Go with those that will gather downstairs for that potluck dinner. We ask that you will bless the food there served to us. Bless the hands that prepared it. Bless this nice service. We would remember the sick and afflicted, those in need, those in pain, those with cancer, the dreaded diseases. Heal them. Lift them up, that they might have a testimony upon their lips of thy goodness and thy blessings. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have one way.